And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Is believing God for personal promises wrong? Ooh, also the name game. We'll ask the question, church or no church? And then choose wisely, grasshopper. We'll close it out with some trivia and a phone challenge.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. Hey, remember, it's not professional radio. It's just radio. So we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Remember, any topic is open for conversation because it's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. So buckle up, little campers. The David Spoon Experience, here we go. Big shout out, first and foremost, to our first sponsor, John.
Big John. Big John.
From the Blessed Roofing Company. What a great job you do on that, Wonder Julie. That's fantastic. All right. Now, here's the thing about the Blessed Roofing Company, right? You want a roof that's blessed. Why? Well, I don't think you want to walk underneath a roof that's not blessed. I got an idea. You first. Okay. Here's their phone number, 469-BLESSED. 469 BLESSED, blessed. And that's so you don't have to write it down while you're driving. Or if you're right there by your computer, you can just go, wait, 469 blessed. That's easy. You can also go to the blessedroofingcompany.com website. That's the, as in the, blessedroofingcompany.com. That's the website. Say hi to John. Tell him you heard it here on the David Spoon Experience. That's one of the things we're doing, supporting the people that are supporting us. A couple things to go into, and we'll get into our first discussion. We got a little bit of trivia coming up. A couple things to share. I just want to say this right off the bat. My wife, last night, now you'll find I share a lot of things about my personal life, came up with a new name for me. Now, if you've been married for a while, coming up with new names, that's different, right? She came up with Gummy Bump. Gummy Bump. And I was like, is this like some kind of weird kind of, what? Am I expanding at every part of my body? So now I'm just getting all these weird names. I just want to say this to the wives out there or to the boyfriends and girlfriends out there. When you're coming up with a name, remember, if it's a nickname or a name of endearment, something that they you're trying to communicate that you love, do me a favor. Make it kind of positive or kind of understandable versus the other stuff. Because I don't know, Bubby Gump. Is that, it's like Forrest Gump sideways.
What's
or something.
What's the matter, Davey?
Where did you get that? That's great. Can you play that again? Is that possible? Play that again.
What's the matter, Davey?
Oh, I love that. That is just excellent. Okay, let's get into our first kind of review. And as you'll know, we do Bible teachings. We'll do stories. You'll see we'll have a few more political stories coming up, and we did a little bit on the acronyms for the media yesterday. Don't forget, MEDIA stands for Making Everybody Dumber in America. That'll help you really understand what's going on. And I do want to let you know we got some confirmation for Chris Tomlin and some of the band that's going to be coming in on an interview on May, because they're doing a tour in May. We're going to have Ray Bentley come on, who's one of the big authors on premillennial dispensationalism and the rapture. He's going to come on and share. He's got a pretty good following. following, so we'll have some fun doing that. Plus, we're working on some other pastors that you may be familiar with here in the Texas area. We're just kind of bringing them all together, and we're going to – when we get them on the air, we don't sit there and grill them. You know, I don't sit there and go, hey, do you do this? What do you do this? Do you do this? How do you comb your hair? Do you use a comb that has 150 teeth or 165 teeth? We don't do that. These are brothers and sisters that we'll be interviewing on the Lord that we want to support their ministry if they're advancing the kingdom of God. So that's what we do. Give them the opportunity to share, but we ask questions. And one of those big questions I'll ask to somebody who's like very strong in eschatology, very strong in the study of the end times and how those will break down, I'll ask, is that a matter of fellowship? If somebody is all-millennial or premillennial or post-millennial, does that come down to a fellowship issue? And I've never met somebody that said yes, because that shouldn't be an issue of fellowship. Now, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, by given by God, received through faith, given by grace, not of yourself, the work of God, that's a little different. That's soteriology. That's salvation. That's what kind of unifies and unites us. Remember, we have one Father, we drink of one Holy Spirit, and we are blood relatives. Get it? The blood of Jesus, your blood relatives. And for those that are not sure how far that goes, just think about when Jesus was on the cross and he turned to John, not one of his brothers, he turned to John, referring to his mom, and said, look, there's your son, there's your mom. Look, you know, it's like he made that connection. Sometimes the spiritual connection is more powerful than people realize. So very important, because you're going to be spending eternity with your brothers and your sisters, and not everybody's going to look the same, think the same, or act the same. But brothers and sisters are of the same family. So that's a big key in there. All right, let's get into – oh, I wanted to apologize. Can you believe I already have to apologize? I've only been here a week. Goodness gracious. You know, normally it takes me a month before I have to apologize. And you'll find out I'm a very firm believer in eating the pie quickly, which means that if God convicts you, if something going on, there's no point in fighting the Lord about it. You're not going to win. And so my theory has always been the, you know, King David theory, when he was confronted by the prophet Nathan, and Nathan goes, you are the man who did the wrong. He said, yep, I did the wrong. It was my bad. Big difference between Saul and David is David owned it and Saul deflected it. So I'll own it anytime I think it's inappropriate. And I'll tell you, nobody called to complain about this. Not one person said a word. But I thought yesterday, I said, well, this is how you lay the foundation to do a national show. I thought that after I thought about that, that's a little arrogant, and I apologize for that. I do. If the Lord wants to take this show and just, you know, keep it in its exact location, I thank him for that. If he wants to take it and move it into other locations while it's here, I thank him for that. If he wants to make it much bigger and put it on several stations, I thank him for that. Either way, I have a job to do before the Lord, a ministry to do, and I'm going to do the best I can and let him work out those details. So I apologize if that came off arrogant. There was no intent in my heart. And again, nobody said anything to me. Nobody complained. Just me in prayer going, stop doing that, Dave. Stop doing that. Stop doing that. All right. Question is, believing God for personal promises wrong? All right. Ooh. So here's my question to you, a challenge, actually, and then we'll get to the trivia in the next segment. Relax. Do you believe or feel like the Lord has shown you something for you? Is it possible for God to show you something for you? Not exclusively, but in a personal application approach. Can the Lord show you something for you, a personal promise for you? Let's make the ground rules absolutely self-evident. Any special revelation, quote unquote, that contradicts Scripture is not okay. There you go. You can even do that longer if you want, because that is really important. If it's contrary to Scripture, the answer is no. Okay? No, 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 no. All right? So there's nothing that the Lord's going to reveal that's going to be contradictory to his word, period. That's number one. Number two, and this is really a hard one, You are special to God, but so is your neighbor. See, this is the problem. You are special to the Lord, but so are the neighbors on your left and right and across the street, and even the neighbor you don't like that much. That person, too.
She's just getting into it. That's so funny.
Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is, if we are led by the Lord, as we've talked about, it's not going to be the same leading for each Christian. Or, get this, we'd all live in one city, on one street, in one house. Which means this is where I think the Lord wants me. No, it's obvious that the Lord has led everybody to this apartment, in this location, on this floor, on this corner, and all, 15 million Christians in the community pile in. Okay, see, that doesn't work that way, does it? So can we be led or directed to different conclusions than other brothers and sisters, or can we come to different conclusions without that being a vitality of our communion, without that being an issue of our fellowship? And then I'll go back again, not just to amillennialism, postmillennialism, or premillennialism, but what about people that believe in the rapture? There's people that believe that there's a pre-tribulation rapture, a mid-tribulation rapture, and a post-tribulation rapture. So does that mean that somebody who's got a pre-tribulation rapture mindset is unable to fellowship with somebody who's got a post-mindset, a post-tribulation mindset? Can they not fellowship together because they think differently on the conclusion of how that's going to come about? The difficulty there is thinking that your conclusions in Scripture are so special and definitive for you that that theological construct is more important than the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You want to try and defend that? You want to go anywhere and try and defend that your theological construct is more important and more valuable and more distinctive than the blood of Jesus Christ, or the power of the Holy Spirit, or the fatherhood of God? When we come back, we're going to follow up on this because I can't believe we're already at a minute. I don't know what happened. We're going to take a short break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy, 972-445-1700, or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country Texas, 770 KAAM.
There's no need to fear.
Order back. Come here.
Josh and Ash are feeling bummed, plus all their friends are being dumb. That's when they need some joy and fun, which they can get from their amazing son, Carter Bear, Carter Bear, Carter Bear, Carter Bear. When things seem to be going wacky, he's the spoon that makes them happy. Carter Bear, Carter Bear, Carter Bear.
The David Spoon Experience.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish and after intense drug use became a Christian. He has three children and almost five grandchildren. He has three separate ordinations from three different denominations and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
To the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I should probably tell Wonder Julie. So every once in a while when we do our intro songs, I get into them. And so you might see me dance or...
That's why you need to be on YouTube.
Yeah. Hey, look, YouTube. Yeah, there it is. Okay. My son's buying me a stand so I don't have to use this other stand that we bought for my father-in-law. It's really a nice stand for a phone stand, but probably not for like YouTube. So, okay, a couple things to tell you. If you want to reach the studio here, 972-445-0770. We are getting ready to do our trivia question. I always give the number twice because for like me, I go, what? 972-445-0770. A couple of shout outs. One to Noah. Hang in there, brother. It's going to all be exactly how it's supposed to be. Just trust in the Lord for that. And number two, to my wife, yeah, I'm doing good. And we got good news. We had somebody left a message for her regarding that thing that I had mentioned. And all is good in the eternal body process, or in the inside. Internal. Yeah, that was right. Eternal is so close to eternal, you get a little confused there. You are welcome to call this show. You are welcome to send an email, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. You are welcome to go to the website, davidspoon.com. So davidspoon.com, which is like one of those forward shadow mask things that goes to another core site. But it's mine. It's the site that we have. Again, Facebook, David Spoon, David Spoon Experience, anything like that. YouTube, the David Spoon Experience. Twitter, David at Spoon Experience. You know, stuff like that. We got all that stuff happening. Two things to tell you. We'll drop our lift our trivia question in a second. I want to tell you a Christian joke, and I want to tell you my favorite Christian joke. Now, I have 10,000 Christian jokes. Okay? Not all of them are funny. And yes, I'm going to get back to the teaching in a second, but this is my favorite Christian joke, okay? Almost of all time. It's right at the top three of all jokes, period. So there was a Christian hunter, and he went hunting one day, and he was hunting deer. And don't get all legalistic on me. Then as he was hunting, he saw some movement in the trees. So he pulled out his gun and he shot what he thought was a deer. But it was not a deer, it was a bear. And he clipped the bear on his shoulder. So the bear comes out, nonetheless, not too happy, and starts to charge the Christian hunter. And the Christian hunter takes another shot, thinking maybe this will do really good. And that just hits the tip of the bear's ear. And now the bear is really mad. And the bear is chasing the hunter, and the hunter is running. And the hunter gets to a tree. And he climbs the tree as fast as he can. And he says, "Lord, please, let this be a Christian bear." And at that moment, he hears the bear say, "Lord, bless this food to my body in Jesus' name. Amen." Don't tell me that's not funny. Get it? Come on. That's funny. Lord bless his family. Come on. That's pretty funny. All right. Let's do our trivia, and then I'll go back to the teaching. Here's our first trivia question. Our number here, 972-445-0770. These are the days that are the most fun to do radio. 972-445-0770. The first trivia question is – what did I put in the trivia question? Here it is. How many days was Saul – later – taking on the name Paul, how many days was Saul blind in Damascus? How many days was Saul blind in Damascus? 972-445-0770. You're welcome to call. You do not have to come on the air. You can just call and give an answer. It's not a problem to do that. Like I said, as we move into the future, we'll be giving away concert tickets and different sporting event tickets and things like that. But let's get used to what we're doing before we get there. A little bit of practice before we get to the more perfection-y stuff. So let's go back real quickly. We were talking about people being led to different conclusions. Believing God for personal promises. Is that wrong? Is that not wrong? How does that work? And that's important to understand because – in our process of engaging with the Lord, when we engage with the Lord, we are trying to follow him the best we can. It's not just Christian living. It's living life as a Christian. It's how that goes about. And so how that goes about is we are trying to find our way through. And if the Lord gives something to you, and so for some people, it's like this family member might get saved or this prayer may get answered. You might sense there's some personal promise. Let me explain something to you about Scripture that's really important. It has to do with application. And I want you to understand this because when you'll read Scripture, let's say you're a Christian, you've been a Christian for 5 years. When you read that same Scripture 5 years later, you're going to notice something, that there's a bit of a different application, even though it's the same passage. That again, 10 years after that, you'll notice yet just a little slight difference. And I learned this many, many moons ago in Bible college. It comes out of 1 Timothy 1:15. It says this: "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Now, that's a passage that Paul wrote when he was writing to Timothy, his quote-unquote young protege, and Timothy was a church leader, and Paul was talking about basically an acceptable saying about Christ Jesus coming into the world to save sinners. And we all, as Christians, think, yeah, that's fantastic. But watch what the professor did. It was really an interesting way that he approached it. He said, now, we're going to take this verse, and I'm going to use his voice. I'm going to mimic what he did to tell you how he did this. Okay. He said, watch the emphasis. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He says, now watch this. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Watch this. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Watch this. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world. You see how each portion of the Scripture, if you make an emphasis, gives a different depth to the same passage. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now see, now if you emphasize that, you're going, I'm a sinner. You see how that all of that changes the whole process of the verse? This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, you might spend a time in your devotions and you might read that verse and go, that's it. Jesus came to save sinners. And that's 100% correct. And you might also be at a portion where you're doing your devotions and you come across Jesus Christ came into the world. And that's also 100% correct. But it might be a different perspective at a different time for a different communication that the Lord's working on you. And this is how what we call the dynamic application principle. It's called DAP. I don't have any funny sounds for DAP. Sorry. DAP is dynamic application principle. This is in the theological terms. It's where the Scripture, even though it has a context, speaks to you, not out of context, but speaks to you in a way that's personal, where the Holy Spirit transforms it into your mind and heart. So for you or myself, as we're reading a passage like, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Perhaps there's an emphasis at that point in your life where you're sinning or you're struggling with sin, and you read that verse and you think, man, I need that. Because I'm just a mess, and I need to know that there is saving from this sin. Or maybe you just need to kind of focus in on that Jesus Christ came into the world, took that huge step of humility by becoming one of us, and then helping us. I love Billy Graham's illustration. You'll hear me. I've used it 100 times, and I hope to use it 100 more times. But story he tells, father and son walking across the backside of a park. They come across an anthill. Somebody has stepped on the anthill. Ants are spread it all over the place, going all over. And the father says to the son in the story, how do you think you can help the ants? And the son goes, I have no idea. The father says, go become an ant. Then you can help. That's what Jesus did. So it's like, oh, that's so good, isn't it? It's great stuff. So my point is that could be an application for you. And again, the most important part of this is understanding that personal promises are throughout Scripture, and they are specific to people, but they are real towards these people. So it wasn't Abraham's promise initially for Abraham. I know that sounds ridiculous since we call it Abraham's promise, but listen to what the verse says. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I'm your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer from Damascus. And Abram said, you've given me no children, so a servant in my household is going to be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood. That will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky. Count the stars. Indeed, if you can count them, then he said to them, so shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. That was a personal promise to Abraham to have a child. But for us, it's so much more, right? But for Abraham, it was a personal promise, wasn't it? Ah. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, the love of many will grow cold. And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
What can you do? Well, you recognize as your brother that just hearing you say that I hoodwinked you is, of course, satisfaction for me alone. So it's not like I need something beyond that. I think that works for me. And it's on the air and it's recorded. Back to the dust with thee.
The David Spoon Experience.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
is because heaven is not some statuesque place where people go there and then freeze. Wait, I'm in heaven. I'm standing. Nope, I can't sit. Wait, no, I'm in heaven. I'm sitting. No, wait, I can't stand. Where does that kind of concept of heaven come from? Well, is he standing or is he sitting? I'm going to go with he's doing both. He's standing on this one. He's sitting on this one. Over there, he could be doing a Scooby-Doo act. I don't know what he's doing. All I know is that heaven is not about frozen people that don't move. And if we don't get a better handle on what heaven is, we're going to lose our communication of our hope to a hope that's based on 72 virgins, which guarantees you after 73 times, it's not the fun it was the 72 times. It's so ridiculous. And that's the hope we're not winning on? You have got to be kidding me.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Oh, my goodness. I probably should explain a few things. One, we do whatever we want on the intros and exits. We're having a good time. Excellent choice by that. So really, really good. Number two, prior when we had that break, two things I should have told you. We're adding different input commercials until we have our sponsor commercials filled. Like John from the Blessed Roofing Company, that's 469 Blessed. Never miss an opportunity to tell your sponsors you appreciate them. Anyway, his commercial's being done. So when his commercial's done, then he's going to get into the rotation and so on and so forth as we go through and add sponsors. So you'll see also me trying to add in some variety. Hence, you heard the Carter Bear underdog theme. That was a it's not really a commercial. That was something I wrote for my grandson. He's the first grandchild that I have. My Addie Bug is number one, and then my Carter Bear is number two. But Addie Bug is from my daughter with a different last name, and Carter Bear has my last name. So, you know, it's that kind of thing that, you know, so I wrote them a little. Actually, I wrote all of them a little song. That's the only one that was produced because I liked Underdog. So I thought that's a good idea. That's why I thought that was kind of funny. All right. So for those that are having a hard time with that, you can survive that day. We did throw out a trivia question, and the trivia question had to do with how many days was Saul, who's later named Paul, how many days was he blind in Damascus, or how long was he blind, essentially, in Damascus? It's a kind of a challenging one that would require somebody to kind of do a little bit of looking up. Not something you would typically just say off the top of your head, unless somebody said something off the top of my head, or what do we got? Does that mean that somebody's calling in? So now I've never done this, ladies and gentlemen, so if I do this wrong, I apologize. So I press the one on the very top row. Okay, that's...
should be...
Okay, that's the wrong one?
Nope, hopefully he's still there.
Hopefully he's still there. Do I press the one on the bottom row? See, I don't know what I'm doing.
Top row. I think we lost Leonard.
Oh. You see, that's because it's not new equipment. It's an equipment challenge. I can't believe that I did that. Well, somebody called in, and that was very nice, but I hung up on you. Is there any way for you to send them in, or I have to do it through this?
We'll get it. We'll get it right. Don't worry.
I am so sorry for whoever I have. I think they're calling back. See, that's called forgiveness, which apparently I need quite a bit of. Because if I do this again, I'm going to wait for Wonder Julie to tell me what to do. Okay, so tell what do we got?
Okay, now try it. Hit the top button.
I'm going to hit. Do I hold it or just press it once?
Just press it once.
Okay, how's that?
Leonard,
Hello,
David. Hi. Hi, Leonard. How you doing?
Doing good, sir.
Oh, great to have you call into the show. I appreciate that. Are you calling on the trivia question?
No, I'm calling on the Abrahamic promise.
Okay, perfect. Okay.
And, you know, I don't think it's in that same verses, but somewhere in there, God said, I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you.
Correct? Correct.
Okay. And we generally see that as we need to be friends with Israel, and that sort of thing. Correct?
Typically, people will see that. Abraham wasn't actually the father of Israel. That's really Jacob who had the 12 sons. So Abraham's okay. The father of Isaac. Isaac is the father of Jacob and of Esau, and Jacob had the 12 sons. So that's really the 12 tribes of Israel. When you get down to the technical part of it, I consider Abraham Jewish, but that's because he's wheeling and dealing and did circumcision, if that helps.
Okay. Well, maybe. But anyway, generally speaking, we hear people say we should support Israel because they're God's people.
Okay.
Okay. But then in the New Testament, Paul talks about how the Christians are the new Israel.
Great. Excellent. I just had somebody ask me about this. I'm so glad. So are you going to share with us what you think, or are you just kind of curious I'm coming from?
Here's where I'm going with it.
Okay.
We don't talk about this, but maybe the reason God blesses America is because we are part of Israel. We are Israel.
Okay.
And grafted in as Israel, and so— God will bless those who bless us and curse those who curse us.
Okay, gotcha. I got to know exactly where you're coming from that. And
I've not heard anybody talk about that. What's your feeling of that?
Okay, so here's my. Do you want to stay on the phone or you want to hang up and listen? It's up to you. Because
I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, you got it. All right. What a nice gentleman. Thank you for calling, by the way. Okay, so here's that take on that. There's quite a few people that will think that the promise to Israel has been moved towards the church. And so what you'll have is you'll have a distinction. You'll have some people like Dr. Robert Jeffress, a friend of mine actually, who believes that promise for Israel is for Israel and doesn't really transfer over. Then you'll have other people that think, well, it's really for the church, which then, though, requires us to understand that while America was birthed, I think, in the Christian mindset, there are many nations that have multitudes of Christians. In fact, here's something a lot of people don't know. Do you know where the fastest concentration of Christians, growing Christians, is right now out of all the countries, no matter what? I know people are going to tell you all these different things. But the fastest concentration, according to the Billy Graham Evangelical Association, is in Russia. Right now, Russia has the largest concentration of growth of Christians. I think it'd be tough for people to go out on a limb and say, hey, Russia's a Christian nation. But there are a large number of Christians. Now, the question that I think that Leonard asked is a valid one, and that is, well, if it's transferable into the church, then how does that relate to current Israel? And there's an answer, a direct answer. The answer is it does transfer into the church, but it does not exclude prior Israel in that transference because God was very clear and said that I have a remnant among my people. So while there will be people in Israel who have no connection to the Lord will always have a remnant. So the question is, does that then, in the prophecy fulfillments, does that mean that Israel is removed? No, there will always be a remnant. But does that believe it's solely for Israel? This is where me and Dr. Jeffress would disagree. No, I believe it's for the other nations that have groupings of Christians within them as well. I think it's any grouping. You know that a Jewish person is one that's circumcised on the inside and not on the out. But God has not forsaken Israel. And in fact, and I was just talking to somebody about this, the irony is during the time of the Gentiles, there's this pouring out of the gospel to the world. But it also says in Romans 9, 10, and 11, when the Jewish people come back. In other words, the Gentiles were grafted in and the Jews were put to the side while the gospel is being preached at the time of the Gentiles. But when that's over, the Jewish people will be accepting or acknowledging. And what does it say will happen? It says when that happens, what do we have except for life from the dead, which many people, I'd be one of them, that equates that to the resurrection process. In other words, as more and more Jewish people become Christians, I think you're getting closer and closer and closer to the the resurrection, if that makes sense. So to me, the answer is you're correct, Leonard, but there is an addition to that. I think it's dangerous to exclude the New Testament church from Israel, but I also think it's dangerous to exclude Israel from the New Testament church, as God has never lost a remnant. Remember to Elijah, he said, I have 10,000 people that have not bowed to the knee of Baal. Here is this next big little swirler in this. I guess that's a word, swirler. And here's what it is. In the scripture in Romans, Paul says not all of Israel is of Israel, which means that it doesn't mean that every person who walks in the nation, much like the blessing of God, doesn't mean that everybody walking in America is Christian. There are groups or patches or different facets that are within that. But there are also other nations that have Christians all over. So the idea is, instead of it being exclusive, it probably should be thought of more inclusive. Does that mean that there's a specialty for Israel? Well, if there's a remnant and there's a connection to that, there's going to be something blessed there. And being Jewish and a person of Jewish history, I could tell you some of the ways they won some of the wars are almost – they're Bible-like. I mean, it's like it's amazing on some of the wars that took place, especially the Six-Day War is just incredible. The idea, though, is instead of being exclusive, to be inclusive in your theology. Now, I want to say to Leonard, first, thanks for calling and asking. Good question. Second, that doesn't mean that you're wrong, okay? And I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is expand it. Expand it broader. Because there will be other nations. I think Haiti is one of the nations that's also growing pretty rapidly in Christian faith. But there's other nations that are going to have that same kind of thrust. They might not have been birthed in Christianity, but one thing you will see in America is there's a little bit of perversion going on in our nation right now in the politics. So in a sense, America, in a sense, is fighting for its soul against some of the political elements. I mean, when they're trying to come up with legislation – now watch this – that says, I don't know if the kid's alive at 9 months and he's right there getting ready to come out of mom's body. I don't know if the kid's alive. It's like, are you kidding me? You know what they're going to say next? And this is more Democrats than Republicans on this particular issue. They're going to say, he's 1 year old, but he's driving me crazy, so he's not really alive. Or he's 2 years old, he's driving me nuts, he's terrible twos. I don't want to keep him. All of that, by the way, is based on selfishness, not anything else. Man and a woman get together and they create life together. That life is not the woman's to choose with as she sees fit. The fruit of the womb is his reward. That property is God's. That's a whole nother subject. We'll go down that. But Leonard, thanks for listening. And I appreciate that. And I promise you, especially when Ray comes on, huge fan of Israel, that I'll ask him that and try and kind of get a specific point of view from somebody who's extremely committed to that being separate. So I promise we'll go down that road. Okay, that was fun. Right? Well, having fun yet? Having fun? Okay, it's better than a poke in the eye with a sharp stick. I think so. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Take a short break. We'll be right back.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Am I not saved? Am I saved one day? I'm not saved the next day? Am I kind of saved? Am I kind of not saved? How come I don't feel saved? I feel saved. Now I don't feel saved. And why are tacos going up? Those are the questions you're asking. Okay, so the horses go on these races. The Preakness, the Kentucky Derby, and the Belmont Stakes. If they win, they get to then race in the Triple Crown. And what the Triple Crown is, for those that don't know, it's the first horse to Jack in the Box.
The David Spoon Experience. The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy. 972-445-1700 or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
Uno, dos, one, two, tres, cuatro.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. All right. Working out all of our things. What great songs you did today, Wonder Julie. That's just great stuff. Thank you. And thank you for putting up with me for the whole week. You only have 19 years and 51 weeks to go.
Well, at least we have a weekend between.
Good one. Okay. Just in response to the trivia question, this was actually a little bit harder for those that don't know, but the question technically, I guess it wasn't really technically, is how many days was Saul, Ananias and Paul, blind in Damascus? And the actual answer comes out of Acts chapter 9, verse 9, and he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. From Damascus, so there's got 3 days would have been an acceptable answer. And I wasn't trying to get overly technical or anything. It's just like, yeah, that's a good one. Okay. And when you do trivia, if you don't say it perfectly, it's like, it's okay. Yeah, you don't have to say everything perfect, as you should be able to tell by just the way I've been doing this radio show. Okay. And going back to it again, you'll hear different, like I said, different commercials in and out. We'll figure all that stuff out. I did want to say something. I was supposed to do this the very first show, and I've had it out every day since, and I haven't done it. So I thought, oh, maybe I should do this. And that's this. This is one of those cool thoughts, one that you can hold on to for the weekend. I think it's worthwhile, and it's this. What was the first meal on the moon? Ah-ha! Nah. Guess what? Buzz Aldrin, an Episcopalian, was the first person to eat on the moon. Bud did discuss this with personal leaders in his church and then decided on communion. Communion was the – did you know that?
I didn't know it, but I guess that's what I guess.
That's a good one. Communion was the first – isn't that just a cool thought? That the first meal on the moon, I think it's great. People are like, well, man shouldn't have gone on the moon. Okay, plumbing, that's a good thing too. So sit down and relax, okay? Some things you got to just kind of walk through and just kind of push past. All right, so I just think that was a fantastic thing. Next week on Monday, I'm going to be talking a little bit about Jehovah's Witnesses. Before I do that, though, it reminded me of a little routine we did in the past, and I always thought this was funny. Who's at the door? Jehovah mimes. Now think about that. See, a mime doesn't actually do anything, but see, a Jehovah's Witness will stand at the door and ring the bell or knock, but a Jehovah's mime can't actually touch the door. It just has to sit there and act like it's knocking. See, that's funny. See, Jehovah, just think that through, folks. This is not humor for the grandchildren, which is apparent. Might not be humor at all. Jehovah's Mimes. Come on. So we're going to talk a little bit about Jehovah's Witnesses and the names for God via the Old Testament. New Testament's so filled that it would take me days and days, but I thought I'd have a fun time doing that. And then the other thing to keep in mind is we're going to be, like I said, adding trivia questions, adding guests, adding different things. Another thing I want to keep you aware of, and I'm going to try and close it out. So when we get to that 2-minute point, can you give me like a 2-minute signal when we're at the wind down? Because I'm going to close this whole thing out in prayer. Because I don't think it's wrong to pray. I mean, I don't know about you folks, but for me, there are several ways that we connect with the Lord. Fellowship is certainly a way where two or more gathered together in His name. There he is in the midst. We know that to be true from Matthew. And I've always thought of it this way, so just bear with me. I thought if one person has a quart of Jesus and the other person has a quart of Jesus and they get together, you got two quarts of Jesus. So I thought, I'm a simple guy. Leave me alone. I have to think of things in terms along those lines. And so for me, Bible and prayer are like one of the most important elements because I really don't like it when a pastor or somebody who's giving you input just says, we'll pray about it and go read your Bible. That is not telling you what those things are. That is really pawning it off too quickly. Let's understand that when you read the Word, you're reading what God decided was worth putting together and keeping and having you engage with from His perspective. Now, He could have put together anything He wanted. This was not, it wasn't becoming on the Lord to have 66 books, 39 the old, 27 the new, 40 different authors over a span with 739 or 29,000 words in the King James, 745,000 in another. It's like this, God could have left anything, but this is what He left. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. If some Martian came down in a ship and landed in Washington, and we all had our cameras on it and everybody's filming it live, and the guy pulls out a book and goes, use this to make the planet the way it's supposed to be, left the book, and then got back in his ship and flew off, we'd all be like, read the book, read the book, read the book. Okay, well, somebody bigger than a Martian did that. There you go. Read the book. And then the next part of that, because that's God talking to you. Now, He talks to you in a multitude of ways, but the plumb line is the Word of God. The cornerstone is Christ. And the plumb line to understand what Jesus had to say is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You'll hear me get into this, and I get really passionate about this, but I am way sick and tired of people saying they're Christians without Christ. I don't know how you do that. That's like Christmas without Christ. You can't be a Christian without Christ, and you can't know Christ without knowing what He had to say. Duh. I mean, this is not rocket science. This is like, okay, got it. And so through the Word, the Lord communicates to us. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell you what it is that Jesus had to say. Oh, by the way, we'll go down this another time too. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are not they're not even supposed to be historical books. In any possible way, shape, or form, that's not the way they were written. They are four encounters from four people who met Jesus. That's what the Gospels are. That gospel is an encounter that person had or that person heard about, as in Mark, getting his mostly from Peter, about encountering Jesus. And I'll tell you right now, I've had encounters with Jesus. You've had encounters with Jesus. Guess what? They're not always the same, are they? That's why it's amazing that it has so much similarity between Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptic gospels. And yes, I know about the Q quotient. No, it's not real. Okay, so I'm just taking care of that real quickly for those that understand what I'm talking about. All right, so that's one way. And then prayer is us talking to God. And I think one of the reasons that Jesus was more against repetitive prayer is because, you know, He makes it pretty clear that people think they're going to get heard because of their long prayers. There's a repetition in it. It's just, you know, it's kind of like you're going through the motions because that's not talking to God. Talking to God, watch this. This is a revelation. Talking to God is talking to God. That's what it is. It's talking to God. Okay? You don't have to, it doesn't have to be in a certain posture. It doesn't really have to be in a certain place. In fact, Jesus preferred quiet, alone places, right? Not just for us, but he told us to do that in our prayer time. Say, go by yourself. And that's what he did when he went to the mountain by himself. Right? So you talk with God in communicating through prayer. He talks to you through his word. He does speak to you in other ways. He uses other people, uses circumstances, uses all those things. But I'm talking about the two big core things. So when somebody says, read your Bible and pray, it's more than that. Okay? It's a stepping stone to your communion. It's a pathway to your communion with the Lord. And if you're thinking, well, it's all about getting through this thing, and then when we're done, then, you know, if my good outweighs my bad, don't worry, it won't. Just, you know, unless you have more than 292,000 good works, you're really not going to – that's not going to work for you. But it's not about that. It's about this relationship with the Lord that's going to carry on in eternity. So if you don't have an active relationship with the Lord, time is now to start one. Because you're going to be doing that for all eternity. Got that? All right, so I'm going to close out with prayer, and I'm just going to pray over the audience, if you don't mind. And, you know, you don't have to say amen or, you know, I mean, I pray my prayers in Jesus' name because my answer is, why not? He said I could, so I'm going to. And so I just want to pray that the Lord will bless everybody. So let's just take a moment. Father, I just come before you right now in the name of Jesus Christ, and I ask you to bless the audience that hears what we're talking about. Don't bless them from my perspective on what I think they should be blessed on. You bless them as your kids. Pour your grace and mercy out upon them and affirm your consistent love to them. Let them know you, not know of you. Let them know you. Let them draw closer to you. And in anything I've said in this last week, any sentence at all that can be a blessing for them, let that stick with them and let them empower them and let that strengthen them. And we just pray for people that don't know you, that they would listen and respond by asking for your help and that you would save them through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. That's all. Dad, we need you. We love you. We ask for your strength and wisdom in all of it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, great week. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short 72-hour break, 73-hour break, actually, and then we'll come back for more. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
For all the blessing that you give me, thanks a lot.